our salams to the Shuhada of Karbala. This ayat kareema from Surah Alaq, as I translated last night, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Doesn't he know, doesn't the human know that surely Allah is watching? This is to remind the human being that he is aware of being seen by Allah at all times. This is not supposed to inform us, it is supposed to remind us. Quran is a reminder for what we know, and Quran also leads us to what we don't know. There are certain things we know in our fitrat, but we become neglectful, ghafil, so Quran reminds us. And there are things we don't know about, so Quran guides us, and the guidance in detail has come from the Holy Prophet and his family. Salawatullah alayhim ajma'in. Before I carry on, I'll just one more time thank and all of the participants in the class today. We had our first lesson, and inshallah tomorrow we will have our second lesson on theory of knowledge. And the topic of these majalis at night is haya, and I briefly defined haya. As you all are aware, that the terms used in Holy Quran and Hadith generally have very specific meanings, and there cannot be, you cannot find an equivalent for these terms in English language. Haya is another such word. To find a perfect equivalent for the word haya is not possible in English language. Now, one of the examples of haya is for the children to show some, you know, respect to the majlis. And for all parents, please keep your children next to you, so we can, you know, we can proceed without distraction. Salawat. Salam. Muhammad. So I will define it once again in a little bit more detail. When a person feels that someone respectful is watching, the awareness of being seen by another person leads to a certain feeling of a certain consciousness, which is a kind of humility and often embarrassment or shame, that a person wants to avoid doing bad things or avoid not doing what has to be done, right? For example, in the presence of an elderly person who's present in the room, right, a person would be a little conscious of how he talks, how he conducts himself, and how he addresses the person, all of these. Now, often in a culture which is not founded on Islamic teachings, such feelings are not found so often. They get very weak. So you might look at some places in an un-Islamic society where they do have some level of haya. For example, the really bad things they do sometimes away from the eyes of people. So they hide them. And if they are brought in public, they commit suicide out of shame and embarrassment, humiliation, right? So this is an example of haya. But haya has to be trained and awakened. Haya has, for example, a lot to do with how you dress up, how you speak, how you talk. And if it gets, you know, trained and matured, then a person becomes even conscious of what he thinks, you know, what he plans to do, you know, what he intends to do, or she intends to do, then it gets to that level. And it becomes, for example, more visible even when no one is watching, or when we are with a group of people who don't believe in our teachings, who don't, for example, show respect to what we believe in. We would avoid doing what is wrong even when no Muslim is watching us. We will do what is wajib, you know, even when no one is there to see or encourage or support. So this is a sense of getting the meaning of haya. It is the awareness of being seen. The best of haya, in the words of Imam al-Muttaqeen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, "Afzalul haya istihya'uka min Allah." The highest form of haya is your haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to look at the different levels of haya in a way that, for example, who is watching us really? Who are we ashamed of?
We can do it.
And again, I'm using one is the word ashamed, not in the English sense, because in English language, shame, it comes out of weakness, not strength. So any questions about the website? Right? As you generally are ashamed of doing something because of certain weakness. For example, a person who is shy to talk in public, they say is shy. Sometimes you use words shyness and shame some close in meaning.
Recordings.
And then shame sometimes of things necessarily bad, for example, or other meanings. But it's not really haya. Haya is honoring the presence of someone. It's not, for example, like doing something because people want you to do it, even if it's wrong, right? For example, a Muslim male, a man, now is ashamed of praying because what will they say if he stands up in the middle of his workplace and prays, or goes somewhere to pray, and if someone sees it. Now this is also a sort of shyness, shame. But it's coming from certain weakness of the iman. It's not coming from strength of iman. Right? Why would it matter, for example, people don't know what salat is, for example, and we want to pray it. It shouldn't really matter. For a person who is strong, you know, he would not worry that much about what people say, as long as he's sure that what he's doing is right. You know, what he's saying is correct, haq, and the action he's doing, the stand he's taking is really based on correct principles. Should not be shy of doing that. But often people use this word shyness and shame for example, doing something against the norms of the environment, norms that you live in. The norm may be wrong, so the shame is coming from for the sake of wrong things. If people don't accept hijab, for instance, and a Muslim girl wants to put on hijab and goes out, may feel very shy of wearing hijab for the first time in her school, let's say, or workplace. What kind of shyness is it? Is this now, it's could be a shyness because, well, a sense of what people will say about her, that's a little bit of that too. But a bit of it is because of shyness, of weakness, of not being confident enough to show what you believe in. For fear of rejection from people, although you know you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no problem with it. He's very happy that you are wearing hijab. A Muslim woman is wearing hijab, right? Definitely, because He is asking you to do it. So it's not a problem there. And knows, you know that this is the case. And but there's still this this also sort of haya, which is the negative haya actually. It's coming from weakness of iman, not strength of iman, right? Because it's not coming from quwwat nafs, it's coming from za'f nafs. It's the person is za'ifun nafs, not kawiyun nafs. If a person was strong in his nafs, some people, this may be a little bit to do with the mizaj of the person. Some people are really bold by temperament, you know. And you don't have to be have a temperament like that. You can train yourself to be bold. It's a matter of, that is not what we are talking about. For example, a person is shy of speaking in public. Well, if he stands up a few times and speaks in public, shyness will gradually decrease and go away. You can then, it won't matter to you whether you're talking to 50 people or 5 million people. I mean, as long as if you train yourself gradually, that shyness will go away. So that is not what we are talking about here. It is good to have that kind of, you know, strength of the soul. But what is important here is to feel the presence of someone very honorable who's watching our actions. Right? And to do what that person requires from us without considering what people say about it. Right? Because by you're actually doing the right thing, you are doing, first of all, a duty as a human being. That, for example, human beings, because of their intellect, right, should act differently from what animals act like. So if a human being acts like a human being, he should be confident about it. And also because he knows that I am doing an ibadat by observing the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, let's say a small thing, you know, if a person is wearing black shirt at work in the first of Muharram. Now people may ask, well, why are you wearing black, for instance? We say, because it's a month of Muharram. Okay. Now, if two, three people ask, it feels like conscious of wearing black clothes. This is not we are. But yeah, if you are able to present yourself and explain yourself, you should not have a problem with that, because this is out of your observance of the holy month of Muharram. Your way of mourning for the shahadat of Imam Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? Sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa alayhi. If you don't mind, please help me and come a little closer to the member once again. Salawat, please. So the very important pillar of haya is to be aware of who is watching you. Now we want to know who is watching us. The first person, well, the first level of, you know, which is very visible, is that people are watching us. People are watching us. The influence of that is very strong. If we are in a good place, in Islam it is highly recommended to live in big cities. You know, uskun al amsar al izam. Live in big cities. In the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the words of Aimma Tahirin alayhi salam, in Nahjul Balagha, other places, reside in big cities. Don't go and reside in small towns and small cities. Although if you think about it, in big cities we have huge problems. This basically, nobody knows anybody. You don't know your neighbors. Who is your neighbor? People, although they meet with a lot of people every day, but they don't know anybody. In a small town or a small village, everybody knows each other. Correct? So in a small place, in that sense, there is more haya of being seen by other people for what you are doing. But in a big city where nobody knows you, people generally, you know, if a person does something wrong, nobody knows who you are, so it doesn't matter. Generally, In spite of that, we read in our ahadith that live in big cities, don't live in smaller cities. And the reason is also explained in the words of Aimmat Tahreen alayhi musallam, that they said that the reason why you should live in big cities is because there is Salatul Jummah, there is Jama'at, there are majalis, there are ulama, there are brothers and sisters who in your faith who live together, and you must attend the congregation, you must associate with the other believers. These opportunities do not exist in the small cities. For this reason you should choose to live in big cities. So even the choice of living in which city can be an ibadat. Where you plan to live, you shouldn't think, well, I have found a job in, for example, that little town, you know, 200 miles away from that big city, you know, and being offered a good salary. Now you must think that, what has it got to do with my, you know? It has a lot to do with your religion and faith. Because if there are no mu'mineen living in that area, there is no masjid, there is no active place of ibadat and azadari and these things, there is no place where you can go in the holy month of Ramadan, commemorate the important occasions, Salatul Eid, Salatul Jummah, these things, right? Then by lack of association with believers, the will to do the right thing also becomes weaker. Our training ourselves diminishes. We don't train, we are not training ourselves. We are depriving ourselves from an opportunity to observe haya. It is important to be in the company of good people, because haya at all levels is good. And this is not riya. This is not showing off your salat. This is just, you know, being in the company of believers, to be trained as a good person, to learn from them, to attend religious gatherings, so that by being with them, the Islam says that if two believers, they shake hands with each other, their sins are washed away. They drop like leaves of tree in the fall season, you know, the leaves they fall. Just like that, if the believers meet with each other, the effect of that is this, because of haya. And believer, he reflects, he is showing some level of iman. So it's in a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a level, increased your awareness of his presence through the presence of, through your being in a masjid, through your association with believers, right? Through your being in the company of good people, Allah is building your haya by doing that. Another haya is from ourselves. And this haya from ourselves is explained by Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salam. That the height of muruwat. Muruwat in Arabic is honor of a person. The height of honor of a person is that a person have the haya from oneself. And Imam explains, what does it mean to have the haya from yourself? He said it means this, that why do you have this haya from an elderly person in your presence? For example, your grandmother is present, your grandfather is present, right? Your parent is there, someone you respect in your family, grown up, elder, older than you is present over there. Why are you so conscious of his presence? Imam says it's not because of his old age, and it's not because of his white beard. It's not because of that. Although people say this a lot, Imam says that is not because of that. لَيْسَ الْإِلَّةُ فِي الْحَيَاءِ مِنَ الشَّيْخِ كِبَرَ سِنِّهِ وَلَا بَيَاذَ لِحْيَتِهِ. None of these two reasons. وَإِنَّمَا عِلَّةُ الْحَيَاءِ مِنْهُ أَقْلُهُ. The reason of this haya from that elderly person is his aql. He is more intelligent than you are. You are conscious of a higher intellect. A person who is more intelligent than you, knows more, is wiser than you are. Aql, presence of aql, you know, awakens the haya in a person. And then Imam alayhi salam says, so therefore, If the same Johar, the Johar of Aql, right? The same treasure of Aql is present in us, Fina, Imam says, in us, then we should have haya from ourselves. And we will not do something while my Aql is watching. I will not do something beneath the level of my Aql. Should be ashamed of my own Aql. Should not be, you know, it's not about who's watching, an old man or young man, young person. It's even before anyone else is involved, just me and myself, my Aql. So therefore this explains what guilt really is. This is the correct way to understand guilt. Not any other way, the way people are talking about it. Guilt is the haya of a person from himself if he does something wrong. If a person does something against what his iman is demanding him, he will feel ashamed of that. The haya comes up, haya awakens. This haya will lead to guilt after the bad action is done, or after not doing something that was wajib. When you knew that, okay, I have just a few minutes left, my salat will become qaza, I must get up and pray. Delay, and the sun came up. He's feeling guilty about it. Why? Who, nobody is watching here. A person who is not a Muslim feels guilty about a lot of things. Why? Because he has some level of aql suppressed inside, but it is there. Right? Feeling ashamed of my knowing myself doing this. I am doing this, right? My aql, which is my human self. Because my body is not the human. The human is me, aql. And that human knows, innal insana ala nafsihi basirah, Quran says. The human has basirat of his own soul, nafs. So human and the nafs. Human is the aql, and the nafs, he is seeing, that aql is watching. So he feels embarrassed. His aql is feeling ashamed of himself. Why did I go ahead and do this? Why did I not fulfill my obligations? Correct? And walau alqa ma'azira, Quran says, even if he presents 1,000 excuses for doing something wrong or not doing his obligation, walau alqa ma'azira, can throw all the different excuses in front of him and say, oh, this is because of that and that. But he knows, innal insana ala nafs, surely a person has basirat, knows himself very well, I did something wrong. This is there. So this is really something Allah has put in ourselves. Another, so we have people, we have our own intellect. And the third thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has positioned, right, created, is the hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every time, there is a hujjat of Allah. Allah said, if there was no hujjat, my hujjat was not on earth, this earth will perish. My hujjat is always there. In Surah Nisa, the Holy Quran says, فَكَيْفَ, what will you do, إِذَا جِئْنَا, when we bring مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ, when we bring from every nation a witness. Witness, the one who is observing the hujjat, right? وَجِئْنَا بِكَ, and we bring you, the Prophet, عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, and we bring you as a witness over those witnesses. For every group, every nation, there is a witness observing their actions, a human being witnessing their actions, and on top of that witness is another witness, which is Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knows. And I'm translating this verse this way because in Kafi, in volume 1, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam said, this has been revealed for the ummah of our grandfather, the Holy Prophet. Especially, this ayat was revealed for the ummah of the Holy Prophet. Because in every century, fi kulli qarnin minhum, in every age rather, there is an imam over them, right? Amongst us, Ahlul Bayt, shahidun alayhim, who is a witness upon them, wa Muhammadu shahidun alayna, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the shahid upon us. Salawat. Allahumma salli. Amen. Well, the shahid is there. The shahid is witnessing. Shahid means witness. Shahada means to witness something. And that's why the Holy Quran says, وَقُلْ اَعْمَلُوا. O Prophet, say to these people, tell them, act, practice, act. قُلْ اَعْمَلُوا. فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. Because soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see your actions. وَرَسُولُهُ. And His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see your actions. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And the mu'minun are going to see your actions. Al-mu'minun. This is in Surah Tawbah. So who are the mu'minun? Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma salam, that the meaning of these Ahl Iman, these Al-Mu'minun, are us, the Ma'asum A'imma of this nation. In every generation, there is an Imam. The Holy Prophet, you know, gave the wilayat to Imam Ali al-Islam. He passed it on to his son and his grandson and all the way up to the Imam who lives today. He is a Shahid upon the Muslim nation during the whole of Ghaybat. Ghaybat al-Kubra, Ghaybat al-Sughra and Ghaybat al-Kubra, until he brings his order to the world, right? Until the world awakens out of haya, of the presence of the Imam, and corrects themselves and bring these values that Imam wants to establish in the society, they start living those values. When they start living those values, the zuhur actually has begun. If they are not observing those values, the zuhur has not begun. The zuhur of Imam al-Hujja alayhi salam starts when people start observing the commands of Imam Akhir al-Zama alayhi salatu wasalam. The qualities of an insani kamil, if they are found in the society, the mu'mineen, the believers, we're not talking about those who don't believe in Imam al-Islam, those who don't believe in Quran. Well, we're talking about the believers. If they start observing the duties that Imam wants us to do, then actually the zuhur has started. It's a gradual process. And when they reach a certain level, as they say, optimum level, a certain level, they as achieved, right, Imam will physically appear. Wow. This is what I mean. Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada needed in his time. He showed by his action that I need people like what I have around me. That's why the Shuhada Karbala will come back in the time of Imam al-Islam. The Shuhada Karbala will be with Imam al-Islam. We believe in Raj'at, the return of the Prophets, return of the Shuhada, return of the A'imma Tahreen, return of the Holy Prophet of Islam after the zuhur of Imam al-Hujjah alayhi salatu wasalam. They will return. This belief, what does it do to us? This awakens our haya, that we are being seen by the Imam. Our actions are being reported to Imam alayhi salam. And this, of course, I am reading this hadith as a reminder to inshallah, to strengthen our iman, remind ourselves this useful information, these kalamukum nurun. As in Ziyarat al-Jami'ah, you read, you say to the Imam that kalamukum nur, your words are light. You know, you don't say your kalam is munawwar, your kalam is nur. Your kalam itself is nur. So you, if you listen to a hadith of an Imam, and your akhl absorbs it, your heart accepts it, right? Then it brings light and removes darkness from the heart, removes ignorance from the heart, right? And awakens the haya. How can I do something when my Imam is aware of my actions? Therefore, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said, he said, the actions of the ibad, the actions of the people, are presented to the Holy Prophet every morning, good actions and bad actions. So be careful Each one of you should have haya, falyastahyi, should have haya, that his bad action may be reported to the Holy Prophet next morning. Then Imam explained how this happens, how this, the process, how it happens. He said, when the malaika, the angels, yeah, last night I mentioned that 20 angels, you know, surround us. This, I mentioned that it is from our sixth Imam. I checked again in Biharul Anwar, volume 5. It is reported that Usman asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, Allahumma sallam, how many angels accompany us, human beings? The Holy Prophet said 20 angels are with us. And he explained the duties of each angel. So the riwayat is pretty lengthy. It explains the duties of all the angels, the duties, what they do. And he said 4 of those angels, right, are watching over the actions of, reporting, writing down the actions of the people. 2 of these angels are during the day, so they stay with us all day till the time of Maghrib. Time of Maghrib comes, these 2 leave, and the other 2 arrive, which stay with us all night till the morning. From this you can understand why the morning prayer Salatul Subh and the evening prayer is so important. Because the time of Fajr, the traffic is there. Angels who are with you all night, they are good, they are taking this good action with them. And the angels that are coming down, right, are the first thing they see a person doing his Salatul Fajr. So it's a Maghrib time the same way. Actions of the day before they are being taken up, if you pray or Salat, then it is washing the bad deeds. So these actions will, these bad actions will not be reported to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Allahumma sallam alaihi. Amen. But if a person does not offer salat to ask for forgiveness, then the actions which were written, now how are the actions written? Now I'll just mention this. I was talking about last night and I was asked by some children, Maulana, you said 20 angels are with us. Well, 24 of these angels are writing down the actions, and some of these angels, the other angels, are protecting us. Some of them are putting good thoughts and niyat in us. Some are giving us ilham and inspirations, and there are other duties. So how much Allah honors us, that He has put 20 of His really honorable angels with us. And I'll just mention, inshallah, a little bit further, why they are there. But the Holy Prophet said, there's one angel on your right side who's writing your good deeds, and there's one on the left side, both day and night, writing your bad deeds. So when a person does a good deed, the angel on the right side writes 10 sawab for the good action. 10 hasanat for the good actions, right? But if a person does something wrong, so the one on the left, he asks the one on the right, should I write it? And he says, no, wait. Maybe he repents. Maybe he's istighfar. He does istighfar for it. So we will not write it. When he repeats it 3 times, you know, then he says, Baisal Qareen. He said, now you can write it. Arahanallah, may Allah relieve us from this person. That he has no shame from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He repeatedly does something wrong, while he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, right? Now, the word angel, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to us in a language that we would understand. Angels are zuhur and mazahir of the, you know, ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always aware of our actions. Nothing is hidden from Him that He needs to be told, for example, who did what. Correct? So how, when the angels want to, finally the action is reported. The good action is reported 10 times, the bad action is reported once, after repeated, you know, violations, the angel finally records, writes it down. This person, for example, stole something. Now they want to report it. إِذَا أَرَادَ الْمَلَائِكَ يَرْفَعُ. When they want to take this amal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first, أُرِضَ عَلَىٰ صَاحِبِ الزَّمَانِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, the action is brought to the living imam, alayhi salam. ثُمَّ عَلَىٰ وَاحِدٍ وَاحِدٍ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُعْرَضَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Then to his father, to his father, to his father, to his father, all the way up to the Holy Prophet of Islam, right? ثُمَّ يُعْرَضُ عَلَىٰ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. Is presented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made asbab and he is all aware of everything. But he has organized a system for everything in this universe. You know. Of course, this is a system, but it's not that, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not aware of something. And this point was raised by a zindiq. Zindiq are atheists. In Arabic language, zindiq is a word for atheist. The zindiq came to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salam. And he said, Abda Rasulullah, you believe that Allah is present, right? And Allah knows everything. You believe that Allah knows everything. And then He has appointed these angels upon us to record our actions. Then how is it that He has put these angels to document our actions? And at the same time you believe that He already knows what you are doing? Why? How can this go along with that? Imam alayhi salatu wasalam responds, he said, Ista'badahum bidhalik. First reason why Allah put these angels on us, because He has put them to a duty, to an ibadat. You know, angels, they objected. Now for lack of a better word, objected. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am appointing human as my khalifa on earth. Angels said, why a human being? Why not us? نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We are doing your hamd and we are doing your taqdees and we are praising you and glorifying you. Why not appoint us as the Khalifa? Why a human being, right? Well, in the words of one of the great scholars, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want a muqaddas as his Khalifa. He wanted a human being as Khalifa, who can come all the way to the lowest level of creation, alam-e-madda, and rise from here. Because of his choice to do the good and the bad, and picking the good over the bad, and then rising from there all the way, to the extent that he sent his prophet, born in the same way like any other human being, but rising to the level that even Jibreel alayhi salam says, Ya Rasulullah, if I step one more, I'll burn. From here you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I have no access to it. This only a human could accomplish. Because only a human had the badan and the nafs of this dunya, right? That he can use as a tool to gain good actions and ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his will, which Allah has put as a sign that he is mukhtar kul, he has made a human being mukhtar, and through the choice, you know, between good and evil, he chooses the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over his own will. To he wants the angels to come and see this phenomena, see this at work, see how this plays out, how this is working in this dunya. This is an ibadah for them to see and learn, because they were saying, why don't you make us your Khalifa? You be there, and if you be like him and then you choose to do your salat on time, if you are in the same place and then you were able to observe yourself, catch yourself not looking at something haram, if you were in the place of that human, right, and had a choice to go and do that wrong thing and you were able to stop yourself, then I could say, yes, you are worthy of being my Khalifa. Right? So go and watch. That's one reason why he put all these angels on us. The second reason was ja'alahum shuhudan ala khalqih. The other reason why he put angels on us to watch over our actions, because they are shuhud, they are witnesses over Allah's creation. Why? Liyakuna al-ibad. So that the the humans, by their knowledge of the presence of angels around him, around them, ashaddu ala ta'atillah, they will be more ashad, stronger in obedience of Allah. Wa an ma'asiyatihi ashaddu intibadan, and from disobedience of Allah they will feel more ashamed. Why? Because they know that angels are surrounding them and present with them all the time. This will awaken their haya. They will feel embarrassed by the presence of angels. For example, if a person thinks, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are people who think Allah is hiding behind seven curtains and, you know, I will talk to him on the day of Qiyamah, for example. When I die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to talk to me. There are some people who think that on the day of Qiyamah, na'uzu billah, Allah will come and shine in front of the people like some kind of moon or something. And they'll all some come and say, oh God, so now finally I see you. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hiding somewhere? Right? Like those people who describe, what do you see Allah is like? And they make up stories and things like, it's like a person with a white beard and like, you know, ignorant people, they have these stories. Because whenever you manufacture, whenever you try to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a product of your mind. It is, anything you say about Allah to describe who Allah is, it's actually the product of your mind and my mind. It has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere. Any limit you put on Allah, then He is not God anymore. You have done something in your mind. He has no limits. He's present everywhere. He knows everything. He is there and nothing else is there. It's only Him, nothing else. So it is not like He doesn't know something, so He put angels so that angels will bring information to Him next morning and then He will say, oh, so and so did this. No. It's all for all these creations He has created. All the actions He does is for the benefit and increase in aql or increase in ma'rifat of either an angel or a human or a jinn or someone He has created. Salawat. So we have people watching us, we have our own aql watching us, we have the hujjaj ilahi watching us, and we have the angels watching us, right? In the same way we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching us, who is always watching us. Angels have limits, what they can see and what they cannot see, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. In the secrets of the ibadat, one of the ibadat is when you go to Hajj, inshallah Allah give tawfiq to all of you. When you are in the plain of Arafat, Arafat is a huge valley. All Hajjis gather on the 9th of Zilhajj. When they are, that's the day of Hajj basically. Day of Hajj is the day of Arafah. On that day, our riwayat say from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once only speaks to the angels and says, today I allow you access to look at the hearts of my servants. Today, for just a little while, just a little bit, I'll let you see what is there in the hearts of these people. Correct? So when the angels look in the hearts of people, they see that some of the hearts, they have like smoke coming out of them, black smoke coming out of it. While the other hearts are the hearts which are nurani, light is emitting from them everywhere. So this confuses the angels. They say, Ya Allah, something we saw, we didn't understand. That some hearts are so dark and some are so bright. What is the secret of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, that those whose hearts are black, right? They call themselves the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. and they say that we believe in him, we believe in what he said, what he did, except when he stood on the day of Ghadir and said, "Man kuntum maulahu, fahada aliyun maulahu." They said, "No, this is not what we accept. Is it from you or is it from Allah?" They questioned it and refused to accept what the Holy Prophet said about Ali Murtaza alayhi salatu wasalam. So they say, "We believe in Muhammad, but we don't believe in the whole of what the Holy Prophet brought." They pick and choose. They say, "We take this, we don't accept this, we add this, he didn't do this, but yeah, so and so did it, so it's okay." So they say, "We believe in him," but they don't believe in him. Because I have not given them the choice to pick what they want and to leave what they don't want. But the hearts you see as bright, those are the hearts which believe in the whole of the teachings of my Prophet. Then on the day of Ghadir, when the Prophet stood and said, "Man kuntu maula fahada alimi maula," they said, "Amanna wa saddaqna." We believe in the whole of your teachings and Shariat and all that you say, even if whatever we don't understand, we believe in it. We submit to it humbly without questioning, because our intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to please our minds, not to please ourselves. If we don't understand something, no problem. As long as we know that the Prophet said it, as long as we know that he is the Nabi and the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what he says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, he doesn't speak from his desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, all of his words and actions are nothing but wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing this, it is enough that he said it or he did it. Doesn't matter who made it illegal afterwards, who had a problem with it, how many people follow him, how many people don't follow him, it doesn't matter anymore. Even if one man follows it, right, which is Ali Murtaza, and he says that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, is good enough for me. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And so we have so many people with us, and for a mu'min, it is a way of feeling honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah cares for me so much. He hasn't abandoned me. He hasn't said, "Okay, I send you to this dunya and leave you to figure out how to worship me." No. No one can say to Allah, "Allah, you left something. You didn't provide me enough resources. You know, you didn't give me the tools to feel your presence around me." No, he did everything possible to make you aware that he is with you right now, watching you, knows what's in your heart, cares for you, not to pick you and punish you, to cares for you so that you will grow. It is achieve perfection and kamal as a perfect human, and he put good examples for you. He lived, he sent prophets, then his awsiya, right? Didn't even leave any period between the Prophet, a period of void, like no one there to tell the people what's right and what's wrong. Even for a Salman a Farsi who lives in that corner of Iran, right? If he wants, he can find all his way, all the way, and arrive in Medina and find Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow him. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. So it's not like, for example, we are living in America and we have some kind of barriers that block our access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to read Ziyarat al-Jamia. Allah is speaking to them. They are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we believe Aimma alayhi salatu wassalam, each one of them, Kulluna Muhammad, Awwaluna Muhammad, Akhiruna Muhammad, Awsatuna Muhammad, Kulluna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When did he block his access to anyone? When did he say, "I'm not going to talk to anyone"? When did he say, for example, "I'm not going to reveal to anyone"? Well, yes, there are two kinds of revelation. One revelation in the form of a book.
Holy Quran.
And there are all these other revelations he has sent, and he is continuously sending to those he wants. No blocks on Allah talking. Who can bind Allah's hands? Like the Bani Israel used to say, Yadullahi maghlulatun. They said the hands of Allah are tied. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after creating the universe, he left it to himself. Now it's functioning by itself. So we have to figure out what to do here. So he doesn't know, he doesn't have access to dunya. We don't believe in that. We believe Allah is managing the universe. He is running the show. He is running everything. He is running my life. Even if I don't understand it, I don't realize it, that is, my life is being directed by Him. If I seek His guidance, He will take me to the right way. If I don't seek His guidance, because of my faults, I'll choose the wrong way, and I keep going the wrong way until I destroy myself, na'uzubillah. All by His izn. And it is not possible that someone will say, oh Allah, I seek guidance from you, and he will not speak to that person. It's all about purity of heart, khulus. Person purifies his heart, receives inspiration from Allah. And inspirations are so many kinds. We believe, and I'm just wrapping this discussion up, that we believe in A'imma alayhimus salam, each one of them have had two aspects. Just like the Holy Prophet of Islam, the Holy Quran says, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am a human like you. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. The difference is that I received wahi and you did not. So you have two aspects. One was their human aspect, that they are presented in this world like human being with a body, with its needs, right? The other aspect of them was the maqam-e nuraniyat of A'imma alayhi salatu wasalam, which is always in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always brightened by the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never away from Allah. Never. That's why Allah's connection with you and I is never broken. We just have to connect ourselves with the Imam, and the Imam will connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like that. That's why belief in the Imam, living Imam, is the difference between Islam and Jahiliyat. Man mata, you know, walam ya'rif imam zamanihi mata maitatan jahiliyat. Person who dies not recognizing the imam of his time, he's died a death of Jahiliyat, the time before Islam. Right? The difference between Islam and non-Islam was the personality of the Prophet, nothing else. Prophet came and people believed in him. So they came out of Jahiliyyah. Those who did not believe in him continued to live in their Jahiliyyah. Those who don't believe in the Holy Prophet today are living a life of Jahiliyyah. And those who believe in the Holy Prophet, in all of what the Prophet brought, without picking and choosing, they believe, right, in Islam, and they are away from Jahiliyyah. And this is the time of Ghaybat. This is the time where, you know, our Imam is present, and we are aware of the presence of Imam. He's waiting, he's guiding us, putting thoughts in our heart, protecting us when we are in danger, our Iman is in danger, guiding our great scholars, right? The Urafa, the Ulama-i Rabbani, the Mujtahideen, the Mufassireen, the Muhaddiseen. Imam alayhi salam is very active. He is the one who is assigned the task of hidayat of the people in this age till he physically appears. His presence should be a source of haya, source of tadayyun and taqwa for the people. That is, believers know. That's why mu'mineen who believe in the presence of Imam, and those who don't believe, you see there's so much difference in their behaviors, in their lifestyles. This azadari is not a small thing. Azadari is the awareness of what people did to the Imam of their time. And the reminder that we will not do that to the Imam of our time. It is to feel ashamed of the conduct and the behavior of a Muslim nation with the grandson of their Prophet. That poets have said, that many shuara have written kalam, that it is so strange about this nation, that on one side they read the kalima of their Prophet, and on the other side they came and slaughtered his own family. kind of believers are these? Either they believe in the Prophet or they don't believe it. If they say that we believe in it, and then they go ahead and deprive them from water, surround them, right? Besiege them, cause fear in their children, right? And try to humiliate them. I plan to read a few lines from Maqtal about what happened after the Shahadat of Abi Abdullah. The bigger tragedy, in the words of Imam Sajjad al-Islam, was not the Shahadat. Because when he was asked, what was the hardest time you saw, you felt? Imam al-Islam said, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham. The humiliation began after Karbala. But the height of it happened in Sham. The Maqtal says, Ibn Abi Mikhnaf, he says that after killing all the companions and family members of Sayyid al-Shuhada, that evening they attacked the camps of the family members of Sayyid al-Shuhada and started burning them. Now the family members of Sayyid al-Shuhada are moving, and all the other families present, they started moving from one camp, one tent to another, because the tents were burning one after another until they all gathered in this one tent around Sayyid al-Sajjad al-Islam, and this tent started burning. So Sayyidah Zainab salallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sayyid al-Sajjad, what do you say? Should we stay? It's a mas'ala shari'i for a Muslim woman. What does she do? So she turns towards the Imam. With your permission, I will make the decision. If you say we stay, we will stay and we will die. If you want us to go out of this tent. It was that big of a decision for Sayyidah Zainab, because she could see the coming events. Is that the route Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to take? Does Allah want me to go to the streets of Kufa? Does Allah wants me to go all the way to Sham? Go through that crowd of cheering masses in front of those ambassadors from around the world and see all that with my eyes, and people see me. And Sayyidah Sajjad allowed that no, the duty is to leave. How hard it was Sayyidah Zainab to rescue the Imam with the wording tent, with bringing out the children, bringing out all those who were sick, finally bringing the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam out. Then the heads of the Shuhada were sent the next day to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, and it was then announced that the whole army of Ibn Ziyad would leave Karbala. And with them they carried the daughters of Husayn ibn Ali and the sisters of Husayn. And they had small children with them, and Ali ibn al-Husayn was sick. Then Sayyid ibn Tawus write that with the family of Sayyid al-Shuhada, all the women were there on the backs of camels with no cover. Their faces were visible. Either their heads were open or whatever it they... By the time they arrived Kufa, their faces were visible to the crowd. As they say that all the chadars and makhna'a were snatched and taken from them. وَهُنَّ وَدَائِعُ خَيْرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And they are the amanat of the best of Allah's anbiya. And they carried them. وَسَاقُوهُنَّ كَمَا يُسَاقُوا سَبْيُ تُرْكِ وَالرُّومِ. They were taking as captives, just as they took the prisoners of Turk and Rome. In those times, between the wars between Muslims and non-Muslims, they used to carry prisoners just as that time. But this is written that never before the tragedy of Karbala were ever any heads taken on the streets. Muslim masses had never seen any heads on the lances, on the spears taken on the street. It was the first time after a battle which was against the members of Prophet's family that heads were put on lances and brought on the street. And Qurrat ibn Qais al-Tamimi says that I cannot forget the face of Zainab bint Fatima. Hina marrat bi akhiha al-Husayn sari'an. That Zainab was, as she was leaving the tent after burning, then the women were being taken now on the camels and taken, and Zainab saw the body of her brother slain and on the ground. And she said, Wa Muhammada,
Salla alayka malaikatu sama. May the durood of malaika be on you. Hada al Husayn ibn al-Ara. This is Husayn. How can I leave him like this? Murammalul bid-dima. He is washed, covered in his blood. Muqatta'u al-aza. His limbs are all cut from his body. Ya Muhammad, wa banatuka sabaya. Oh Muhammad, your daughters are being taken as prisoners by your ummat. Wa zurriyatuka muqattala. All your descendants have been slaughtered. Tasfa alayha saba. The dirt, the dust of the desert is falling upon their bodies. Fa abkat. They say that Zainab made everyone cry on that day. Then Zainab said, we want to come close to the bodies, and Zainab fell from the camel and fell on the body of her brother. And Sakina asked, who are you crying on? And Zainab said, this is my brother Husayn. And Sakina fell and came on the body and could not leave the body of her father until Shimr ordered them, go and drive her away from the body of her father. They forced, and Sakina was crying, oh father, look at them hurting me, your daughter, not letting me cry over your body.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبوا. O Allah, forgive our sins. O Allah, give shifa to all those who are sick. O Allah, especially brother Abbas Akbar and all mu'minin and mu'minat who are not well. Barilaha, protect their lives and give them safety and security and recovery from their illness. Ya Hussein.